What's cracking, everybody? I'm Nathan Webb.
And I'm his brother, Kyle Webb.
And you're tuning in to Season 2 of our podcast, Two Brothers and a Review.
Every Monday, Nate and I get together and we review movies.
And for this season, it's specifically horror movies.
Don't forget, we'll have an occasional new release.
That's right, I'm still trying to avoid the new Jackass movie. We will provide you with researched facts, our opinions, and my personal favorite,
Trope, there it is!
So make sure you visit us every week at noon. Let's jump right into this episode.
Let's do it.
What's up? This is Nathan Webb. We're missing Kyle Webb because he decided he wanted to do some snowboarding. However,
this is the best brother is here.
The best brother is here. Introduce yourself.
My name is Corey. I'm part of the TRG Network and a brother to the two brothers in review, the rightful brother. Yeah. This belongs to me.
Wait, are you saying Kyle's not or Tommy's not?
What I'm saying is that if there's ever two brothers in review, I need to be a part of it.
Okay. Well, you are.
Let's just make it three brothers.
Okay. Well, for this bonus episode, though, we are going to do our top 10 favorite superheroes. I'm sliding supervillains in there because if anybody knows me, they know I favor villains over heroes. I'm interested to see your list. I do already know what your number one is because we also have another special guest. He didn't know I was going to do this, but if you're going to sit in the room, you got to say who you are.
All right.
Your name?
Well, I'm Lennon Patterson.
Oh, don't talk to yourself, man.
And who are you to us?
Nephew.
There you go.
This is our oldest nephew. Well, my oldest nephew. Landon. So he is going to join a little bit. I'm not going to require you to give a whole top 10, but how do you want to start it off? You want to just start
something,
your number 10?
I'll go with number 10 if you want me to start it off. The guest, that is a nice thing to do, so I appreciate the podcast etiquette there. I'm going to start off my top 10 with, it's funny you said villains, heroes, whatever. I kind of favor a lot of times the people that are in that gray area. So Ghost Rider is my number 10. Whereas, ooh, you could say villain, right? His powers directly come from Satan. The power of, like, hell, basically. Vengeance, if you really want to get down to it, vengeance is his real, like, it's his whole, right, his whole shtick. But aren't the Avengers about vengeance, too? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of a gray area. The reason, though, I like Ghost Rider specifically, I have this thing for heroes or villains or whatever, that there's a lineage. So, like, I don't know how much you've, you know, read up on Ghost Rider or watched or whatever, but Ghost Rider is not a person, it's a title that's handed down throughout. So there's been Ghost Riders on horseback and Camaros on motorcycles. Whatever is, like, the vehicle of that era is usually what a Ghost Rider will possess. So I'm kind of into that, you know, a lineage of this, of this power that's bestowed upon people, a title, gotcha, if you will.
All right. So let me ask you this then. we're just talking about superheroes, villains, period, not necessarily movie or comic specific.
Mm-hmm.
But do you enjoy the Ghost Rider movies?
Okay, so what I'm going to say about the Ghost Rider movie, and it's funny, me and my co-host on our podcast, you know, TRG, those random guys.
Y'all get plenty of plugs on this podcast.
Dude, I'm the king of shameless plugs, man. That's my whole thing. But yeah, we've had this discussion several times, and the thing about Ghost Rider movies, specifically, obviously you're talking about, like, the Nicolas Cage, right?
All of them, but that's, yeah.
It's a guilty pleasure. I know it's a terrible movie, but I do enjoy it. Mostly because there's not another way you can really absorb Ghost Rider content in that format. That's all that was made, right? Mm. Maybe a handful of movies. He was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, for a bit, but...
Cage was?
No. A new version of the Ghost Rider.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
But my point is, like, there's not a lot. If you wanted to, if your preference for media was, like, movies, TV shows, mm-hmm, Nicolas Cage's Ghost Rider is pretty much your only option as a Ghost Rider fan. So, okay, it's a guilty pleasure. I know it sucks, but I do love it.
Gotcha. I'm on board. I like Ghost Rider, and I actually didn't even think to mention it, so that kind of hurts my feelings, because I was a big fan of Ghost Rider as a kid. I read a lot of Ghost Rider comic books.
I used to play the fuck out of the video game that was based on the Nicolas Cage movie. The Ghost Rider game that was made based on that. Really good game. Or really fun, I should say. I
don't even know of the game.
Yeah, Ghost Rider. I don't know if it had another name. I think it actually might just have been Ghost Rider.
Was it on Nintendo?
Spirit of Vengeance, I think is what it was called.
Was it on Nintendo? Because you're a Nintendo guy.
No, I'm just... I'm a gamer, bro. Don't disrespect me. I'm a true gamer. But no, I think I played it on Xbox or PlayStation. It was a...
Okay.
It was one of those that was just shovelware, basically. Gotcha. So it was based on a movie put on whatever platform that would allow it.
Okay. Now, you said Ghost Rider sucked. I don't necessarily say it would suck. We've had our opinion differences about movies. Everyone knows that if they listen to this podcast, especially Jackass and whatnot. And what is the...
Yeah, I can't wait to hear you guys review the new one. You loved it so much that you had to do another one, right?
Yeah, no. But what is the...
What is my gripe with it?
No. Well, you can tell me that too. But what is the movie with Big Show that I like that you can't stand or whatever?
I actually don't remember the name.
I can't remember. Knucklehead.
Knucklehead, yeah.
Yes, okay. I really like Knucklehead. But anyways...
I mean, you're a mark. It's okay. It's okay to mark out.
Go ahead and tell us what your gripe is with Ghost Rider then.
I'll be honest with you. It's a little bit of bias. I'm not a big Nicolas Cage fan. I don't really like many of his movies.
Really?
Okay. So that's kind of a big part of it, but I just think in general the direction that they kind of went with the Ghost Rider, it could have been better. Like I said, there's a lineage. There's a whole, like, for me, honestly, I would have loved Nicolas Cage as a Ghost Rider from a different era. Like, if he was a horseback Ghost Rider, he probably would have nailed it, because he strikes me as more in that Western style where he could pull that off. Yeah. A modern, a biker, a badass, yep. All this, it didn't fit for me with him.
Okay.
You know? But gotcha. The character Ghost Rider is so badass. How could you not want to watch it?
Right, dude, I agree.
Whip a flaming chain around some dude's neck, stare literally the soul out of a man, you know?
And that brings me back to mine. My number 10 is also a terrible movie that I actually just recently watched on Netflix. I think it was Netflix. Spawn. Have you seen...
Okay. I think it's in another genre of it, though, because, like, that's an extremely guilty pleasure. Because, like, if I were to rank those two movies next to each other, Spawn is far worse than the Ghost Rider.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It's way worse.
It's way worse.
But something about Spawn, the comics, when I vaguely remember the comics. I never read too much of them. But just the imagery that Spawn provides, and again, going back to, I've always been a villain kind of guy. Spawn's not... he's more along the lines of vigilante, I guess.
Anti-heroes.
It's
kind of like the title they normally give to people that they're an ends justify the means thing. They will kill. Like, the difference between a hero and an anti-hero is really, like, heroes pull punches. Anti-heroes don't. They will kill if that's necessary to get the result that they believe is just.
You know? So you would agree then Spawn falls into that category?
Yeah, I think he's more like... On the spectrum of that, he's closer leaning towards the villain side, but he's definitely anti-hero. Like, he definitely does things for, you know, a supposed good, just reason.
Okay. Well, that's my number 10. Again, it's more of the imagery and just the badassery or whatever you want to say of Spawn himself, because the movie was terrible, and I don't remember too much from the comics.
I honestly agree. I think Spawn is a really interesting character, a really good character, but 10 is, like, a good spot where, if you were to say, like, Spawn's your favorite, that's where I'd be like, all right, weird. Can we end early?
Do you have any honorable mentions? Because we got right into the 10. I do have a few honorable mentions. Do you have any, or do you just want to stick to the list?
I probably do, to be honest, but I didn't like list any. But by all means, if you have a couple, let's hear them.
I'll just spit them out, and I'll see if any of these are... You don't tell me if they're on your list, but just give me somewhat of a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've got Sabretooth, Wolverine, Strong Guy from X-Factor. A lot of people aren't familiar with, like, X-Factor. Okay, I love me some Strong Guy.
X-Factor was the name of a creator wrestler that me and my friends created in a promotion on SmackDown vs. Raw 2007. That is a really bad sidebar, but it just, you know, came into my head.
Hey, so. Wrestling, right? So, Brimstone Love. I actually have commented on one of your TRG. Here's a shameless plug for you. I forget what the comment was about. You guys were talking about Marvel characters that need... I think it was when you were talking about the Galactus movie and some other things that they should make.
Sure.
I commented Brimstone Love backstory, which, again, you probably don't know who Brimstone Love is.
I can't say I've heard the name, honestly.
It's from, like, the X-Men 2099 series or whatever.
Okay.
He's a big...
I love X-Men.
He's a big blue, like, bull's devil thing. He's badass.
He's beast, you mean?
No, he's a good color blue, and he's a bull.
Okay, because beast is like... You know who I'm talking about, beast, right?
Yeah,
from the smart blue.
Yeah. No, okay, and this guy is more of a villain. But Brimstone Love, and then the last one I got is Red Skull.
Okay. I'll say this, Sabretooth... No, shouldn't even be an honorable mention on anybody's list. Wolverine, I feel you. I actually had a hard time not putting him in my top 10, but I would say if there's an honorable mention, it has to be Wolverine. He's too iconic to, like... If anybody says they don't like him, I can't vibe with that.
Gotcha. You know? See, that's why I have him in honorable mentions, because... Well, not Wolverine, but the other ones. Wolverine's probably out of my honorable mentions, and Red Skull, more well-known. The other ones I said, they're not all that well-known, but those are characters that I was drawn to, and I'm a big action figure guy.
Yeah.
And I had those toys when I was a kid, and those are the ones I remember playing with the most. So that's why they're my honorable mentions. They didn't make my list. And Wolverine, I felt almost too cliche to put in my top 10.
Honestly, that's the same reason. I wouldn't say the exact reason I didn't put him in, but I feel that way with a lot of the X-Men. I feel like that you could almost... name every X-Men as an honorable mention, almost. Like, Cyclops, pretty cool, but...
I've got a few of my top 10.
You know, is he your top 10? You know, the dude that shoots ice. There's a couple of badass people
there. The dude that shoots ice? You mean Iceman?
Well, I didn't want to say Iceman because it's such a terrible name.
I agree. They do have some terrible names. Like, Strong Guy is a terrible name, but he's a cool character.
Strong Guy sounded like...
He's a big strong guy. But it's his real name.
Anyways, as far as, like, honorable mentions, yeah, I would say Wolverine, probably Cyclops. Okay. Just a lot of X-Men, but...
Fair enough. All right. What's your number 9 then? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just say, moving on to my number 9, we're going to start to get into more villains, I guess. This is definitely a pure villain, and that's Mysterio.
Okay.
It's a Spider-Man villain. I'm not sure if you're familiar. Fishbowl, all that. Based a lot around magic. The reason that I gravitate towards him, I used to play a Spider-Man video game where he was one of the main antagonists.
And okay. I think I know what game you're talking about, actually.
I just always enjoyed even though the graphics of this era are terrible... It was able to immerse me as a child, especially the Mysterio character, the fog, the mist, you know, his illusions. It's a really cool concept. Yeah. And if you've seen the newest Spider-Man, don't spoil, please, no spoilers, but the one prior to that, Mysterio was the main antagonist. And They took a new take on it where his illusions and stuff were more based on technology than they were actual magic, but it was still pretty cool. They still kind of were true to the character and the way that he kind of just torments Spider-Man. That's kind of the reason I love him, you know?
I won't spoil anything, because I did just leave the movie theater before we came over here to do this and saw the movie. I did not see the last Spider-Man. I think I told you that when I got here. But they do make reference to Mysterio in the new one.
Well, yeah, of course. The whole plot is based on him discovering, or people finding out that he is Spider-Man. His identity, Peter Parker, is because of Mysterio.
And the previous one, Mysterio is the one
reveals
that... Okay, all right.
Yes.
That's what I was going to ask you, if Mysterio was in the... Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And the only reason, that's not spoiling anything. Everybody knows that's the plot of the third movie.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Then my number 9 is another, would probably fall under vigilante anti-hero, and it's the Punisher.
Oh, dude, honestly, you want to say honorable mention? That's an honorable mention for me.
Okay.
The Punisher is as true of an anti-hero as you get, honestly.
Yeah. Again, for me, it goes back to the aesthetic. I did read his comics. I loved his comics, but... It goes more back to the aesthetic and just his look, his overall, I can't say it, badassery. I keep saying that. But that's what I liked about Spawn and about Punisher was just that whole feel. The Netflix Punisher?
So fucking good.
Okay, thank you. All right, I thought you were getting ready to go the opposite way.
What I was going to say is it's funny that it's kind of along the same line, because I don't know if you even remember, but there was a Punisher movie years back. That's terrible.
Absolutely. John Travolta, right?
I honestly don't even know who the actor
was. I think Travolta's in it.
Until the Netflix series came out, though, it's a guilty pleasure because you can't get Punisher in that medium.
Punisher Warzone, I think, is the second one they did. That one was pretty good, especially if you like gory stuff.
The Punisher series, though, was
on Netflix. Yes, absolutely the best. That the person who played the Punisher is the perfect person for Punisher, in my opinion.
If they don't recast him for a future Frank Castle, that will be one of the biggest travesties of the MCU.
Okay, we're on the same page with that. Okay,
Punisher is sick. I mean, come on, dude. He chopped the dude's head off, put a grenade in his mouth, and then rolled it into a group of his buddies. Badassery.
Yes. Okay. What's your number 7, then?
7? We're skipping 8, man?
No, that was... Oh, you're right. You're number 8, sorry.
I'm good at counting, guys.
I'm not.
I'm going to stay again with villain. Well, actually, you know what? he starts as a villain, and he kind of transitions into hero at some point, and that's a character, Loki.
Okay.
The brother of Thor, you know, the mad god, the trickster god, you know? Mm-hmm. Again, magic-based. It's just really cool, his power to me, you know, that he starts as a frost giant, but he's raised by Odin, literally Odin, and Frigga, basically Odin's wife, takes him under his wing, gives him these magic, and teaches him the way of, like, using magic and shit. And that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of where he, you know, where he gets his unique abilities. Even though there's a lot of characters that use magic, he's more along the lines of using it for, you know, those trickster things. Changing his form to look like someone else. Pretending to die is, like, one of his fucking most tried and true tricks. He's died 1,000 times. So, this is a really cool character. Plus, whatever medium it is in, movies, shows, I mean, they did cast him really good with Tom Hiddleston for the MCU, but comics, everything he's ever been in, he's always very witty, cunning, and I love that in a character. Someone that can hit back at you.
You kind of touched it a little bit. What did you think? It's Disney, I guess? The series Disney that they put out. What did you think of that?
8 out of 10 is the easiest way to say it. It's a phenomenal series.
Okay. Alright.
Phenomenal series.
I'm about this, about the same place too, yeah. I agree. Alright.
It's hard to get a 10 out of 10 for me. That's why I say 8. 8 is pretty pristine, if I'm saying it.
I would give The Punisher a 10. Would you give The Punisher Netflix series a 10? You wouldn't even give that a 10.
I might push 9 on.
Okay.
I would give Daredevil a 10.
Really?
The Daredevil Netflix series.
Okay. That's Landon. Landon.
That is probably one of the best pieces of media, whether it was superhero based or not, that I think I've ever watched. Truly enthralling. Really? Yeah. And it's,
I mean, I liked it.
But the reason I say that is because if you had 3 episodes without Matt Murdock, without Daredevil, Foggy Nelson could hold it down for you. Karen can hold it down for you. They're great characters, man. They are and Punisher's in it.
Yeah.
So it's like slam dunk. That's got to be a 10.
All right.
But we're not talking about Daredevil. I'm sorry to do that. But yeah.
No, that's fine.
I would put Punisher up there. It's definitely top tier.
Okay.
Definitely top tier.
All right. Daredevil, nice. All right. Well, then I'll give you my number 8. This is one that I was talking about. Most people probably wouldn't have on their top 10. There might be a few of us out there. And to be honest, if I were to put Wolverine in, I would probably knock this one out and put Wolverine in this place. But for this top 10, I've got X-Men's Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler?
I'm not a fan of how they portrayed him in the movies.
Well, we can all agree the movies, excuse me, the Fox universe of X-Men movies had one good one, and that's Days of Futures Past. The others are really, really shoddy. Like, they're not bad, they're just not very good.
Okay.
So it's hard to, you know, it's hard to love a character out of that, and it's just not that
great. There's a few that I like, but I understand what you're saying, and I think they...
That's going to come up again later, don't worry, it's definitely going to come up.
Okay, alright. Well, my number 8, like I said, is Nightcrawler. I loved him in the comics, and then the animated series X-Men. I watched that show religiously. I think it came on like 3 o'clock, and as soon as I got home, I watched it.
You know they're rebooting it, right?
The original, the anime series?
X-Men. I did not X-Men know. X-Men 99. They're rebooting it on Disney Plus. And it's going to follow from the same time frame. It's going to continue on. They're going to use the same animation style. It's going to be fucking fantastic.
Wow. Okay, yes.
Excuse my language. I don't know how much you guys curse on
here. No, we 100% cuss a bunch. So.
Fucking fantastic.
I am excited now. Thank you.
Yeah. X-Men 99, baby. Let's go.
When is this?
I don't know when. I just know it was announced. I don't know if they put a release date on it.
That sounds a lot like Gambit. The movie Gambit that should have been out 10 years ago.
Yeah, but you're talking about Fox and Disney. Those are two different things.
That's true. Okay.
Disney don't make announcements unless they're going to follow through. They know the money machine they got with the X-Men. All
right, what's number 7 then?
Let me move on to number 7. I'm going to, honestly, it's going to surprise you. You probably thought, based on the way at least you introduced it, I'm assuming you thought I was going to go more hero here, but I'm still villain here.
Okay.
Number 7 for me is Galactus. It's funny you brought him up as well.
Okay.
I think a character like Galactus that's just so otherworldly, that's just like a power scale that's not comprehensible to a human. Like, even other heroes, don't, like other super-powered individuals, can't compare to a person that can eat planets.
Right.
He eats fucking planets. badassery? Is that going to be the word of the week?
Bro? I guess.
Like, there's not much better you can get than that. And he's just such a good foil to a lot of, you know, really, really well-loved characters. It takes literally the whole Fantastic Four to fuck with this guy. You know, and anybody who has, like, some celestial roots, anybody who's tied in with that god bullshit is always...
Yeah.
Always good in my books.
You know, I know a little bit about him. Mm-hmm. So, I'm listening. I kind of learned more from what you just said than what I knew before. But I do know who he is. I don't have him in my top 10, obviously.
No, that's fine.
but I'll tell you, even if I did know a lot, I don't like his aesthetic.
That's one of the best parts about him.
I think he looks like a goofy fucking Magneto. That's what I look like.
Dude, that's one of the best parts about him.
That's just me. That's just me.
really, though, the reason is, like I said, the power scaling that you... The best part of a villain, the main role that a villain plays, and I know this is going to... You know, maybe you'll disagree because you are partial towards villains, but it's to make heroes look good.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So, when you have someone this powerful, it's a good way to put over a lot of...
Wrestling around.
Yeah. It's a good way to put over some heroes, you know? And it's a whole team at that. You know, it always takes... A lot. There's not really been many moments where you see one person take him on. You know, I mean, there's been funky shit in the comics because that always happens. Like, I don't know if you know who Squirrel Girl is, but...
Yeah. Again, vaguely, but I know who it is.
There's those things where, like, comics have just done everything to the point where they have to do something that isn't really plausible even in the universe they've created. And that's where you get, like, Squirrel Girl defeats Galactus, that type of shit, so...
So are they working on a Galactus movie?
I don't think they've ever announced anything. I know they've made a lot of teases. And the most recent What If series is an animated series on Disney where they kind of play off of, obviously, what if this happened rather than this in our main universe. And there's an episode where a character, Ultron, he gathers the Infinity Stones and becomes, I forget what the term they actually use for him, but it's like, he ascends. He learns to... You know, go between dimensions, use the stones in this other way. And there's one point where he becomes giant. He's fighting this guy called the Watcher who can look over, you know, things that happen throughout all of the dimensions. All of the multiverse, I should say. And he grows giant and he chomps down on a planet. They made a very, like, obvious reference towards him. Even the aesthetic of Ultron in this scene is very Galactus. Like, plus, Fantastic Four is... confirmed. It's definitely coming up, and that's so, one of the main villains in that series.
I know Ultron from Avengers. Mm-hmm. Obviously everything intertwined and everything, but if they made a Galactus movie, do you think that it would be Fantastic Four?
Yes. It would. There's not going to be a solo Galactus movie. He will be the villain of a Fantastic Four or Avengers type movie.
So it could be either one of them, but you think more likely, that's what I was asking, like, would it be more likely Fantastic
Four? I would probably lean towards Fantastic Four, but I could see them trying to make him the main villain of, like, a Young Avengers type movie, but it just feels less realistic for, you know, young, naive, like, new heroes that are newer to their abilities or their responsibility to take on a Galactus. I feel like the Fantastic Four is a little more suited for that.
Okay. The reason I was asking that, we're getting off of the top 10, but it's okay. I also find out how you feel about this. The Fantastic Four movies up so far.
Terrible.
Have been garbage.
Yes.
So they need a good movie. Because the Avengers, on the other hand, not. Avengers have all been fucking pretty good. But Fantastic Four has been hot garbage.
You know, yes, it has. And there's a reason second chances exist. You know that the Human Torch and the original, I don't know if it's the first one or the second one, the Fantastic Four they put out was Chris Evans, who plays Captain America in the current MCU.
Okay.
Another character, I think, was also the Human Torch and the other Fantastic Four they tried to reboot. Was the character that played Killmonger in Black Panther. So, like, a lot of those people, it's not necessarily that they're bad, or the characters, obviously, we all love Human Torch, Mr. Fantastic, Invisible Woman, but it's hard to make a good movie.
Thing? You're going to leave Thing?
I don't like him, even if the best actor has him. He's just Rocky
Talk
Hulk.
About another terrible name.
He's just Stone Hulk. But it's just hard to make a good movie with a bad script, even with good actors.
Yeah.
Bad scripts make bad movies, period.
Okay. Yep.
So that's where I sit with Fantastic Four. But I'm very confident that Marvel in its current state, with owned by Disney or that will make a very good Fantastic Four movie.
Okay. And then last question. Just so I'm understanding correctly. If you put them in, like, tier order, Galactus is at top, and then it'd be, like, Thanos? Is Thanos below Galactus? Or are they...
I don't know if you can necessarily tier it in that way, because...
Like, if you're playing a video game, the last boss is going to be who?
Okay, so if we're talking base power, you're going to go with Galactus, obviously. But Thanos doesn't really have Thanos with all five and with all the Infinity Stones, all six stones, it could probably rival a guy like Galactus, a character like Galactus. But okay. Yeah, just base power, I would say. Obviously, like they both have celestial lineage, but Thanos is a little bit more diluted than Galactus is, as far as that goes, celestial roots.
All right. Well, then we'll move on to number seven then.
Number seven, man. Was actually, I think you're on your number seven, sir. That whole sidebar was number all seven.
Okay. Back to X-Men for me.
Okay.
And I'm going with the first female on our list so far. Someone that I remember.
I tried really hard to fit one on there, but it's hard to have so many good male villain and heroes, man.
I only have one, but this one I specifically remember having the hots for.
I don't want to do it just for diversity reasons, you know?
Oh, no, I liked her, okay. But I also remember having the hots for Storm.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Elektra and I was going to walk out immediately.
No.
Storm, I mean, hey.
Storm, even comic book Storm is pretty hot and has some pretty badass power.
Yeah.
She's a little badassery of her own.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, we're talking about, like, power scaling. Storm is an underrated character that can literally control the weather. You know, some characters, like Thor.
Terrible name once again, but...
Thor, you could say like, her power almost rivals a Thor. Like, sure, he has, you know, the long life and all that of the gods and all that, but one of his main powers is just controlling electricity. He can kind of whip up storms. She can legitimately just create terrible weather.
Right.
Hurricanes, tornadoes, lightning storms. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you there. Storm's a pretty badass character.
All right. You can tell my list is going to be a lot of X-Men, probably.
Yeah, and I honestly don't hate that. I love the X-Men. I guess we'll wait till a little later, and we'll have that deeper X-Men discussion.
Okay.
For me, at number six, we actually talked about this earlier, and I will say part of the reason it's up on my list is because of the Netflix series, but Daredevil. Just a fantastic character, even prior to the Netflix series.
It's crazy.
A blind vigilante that... I mean, he's essentially not blind. He has sonar capability, so he does have a form of sight, you know? Like, he can compile imagery in his head similar to, like, what a bat would do. This is a really cool... I also always like the... I guess it isn't really a nunchuck, but they're kind of like nunchucks. They're like a little staff. I don't know what you call them. He has, like, little clubs.
You know what they're called?
No.
You know what we're talking about, though?
No, I have no clue.
Okay.
I mean, I think they are nunchucks, to be honest with you. I think they are nunchucks, but I feel like... When I remember them, I feel like I don't see the connection. Like, they're two separate sticks, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a nunchuck without the chain.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is, but...
Okay. They're clubs. Sure. He clubs people, and
yes,
I love that.
He does.
Plus, if we were to, like, go outside and a blind dude beat your ass, it's better than any other dude beating your ass. Like, let's be honest. Okay. The suit's pretty cool, dude.
Is he more of a hero, or is he...
Definitely a hero.
Jelani?
Definitely hero. Where okay. we... Because, again, the whole difference, at least to me, this is kind of how I would categorize it. Heroes pull punches. Now, there has been moments where he's...
Yeah, you're right.
He is a character filled with rage, and he has had moments where he does not pull that punch, specifically like the Kingpin scene towards the end of that series, where he's just going to beat the dude until he dies, unless, you know, someone kind of gets to his senses.
Yeah.
But generally, he is subdue... And let the law take over. Like, he's the type of guy that would beat you up, tie you up, throw you in front of the courthouse.
Okay.
Punisher will just slit your throat.
Pretty much.
And leave you there. He's not going to do any other special shit.
Right. Okay.
He's going to kill you.
Okay.
Plus, Matt Murdock's a lawyer, so he's definitely more on that hero side. He wants the law to work, but he knows that sometimes it doesn't, and you have to force him. That's why he puts the mask on. That's
okay. Yeah.
That's really what the Daredevil character is.
Okay. All right. And that's your number six, right?
That's my number six.
All right. This is my last hero, actually.
thought you were going to say last X-Men. I was going to say finally.
No. It's not my last X-Men. It's my last hero on my list. I guess it's only the second hero that I have. I didn't realize that. Whatever. I just left a movie from a movie of his.
Okay.
I've got number 6, Spider-Man. Now, the reason he's on my list is because another show a cartoon that I watched religiously was Spider-Man.
Oh, such good. There's so many good animated Spider-Man series. Yes. There really is.
Absolutely. But if you ask me hero-wise, nothing else, who's my favorite superhero? Hands down, I've always said Spider-Man. I never say Batman. I never say Superman. I never say Cyclops, Wolverine. I've always said Spider-Man. So Spider-Man's my number 6.
You can't really argue with Spider-Man. Spider-Man is just, again, pull punches. He has the ability to kill people in a punch. He has super strength. He doesn't ever kill people. So that's a true hero.
He ties them up and leaves them out, something like you said.
Exactly. He's a true hero in every sense of being heroic. I like that. You know, with great power comes great responsibility. So I'll just segue right in, because rather than, you know, actually, you know what? My number 5 is not exactly what I thought, but yeah, just to continue on the thought, Spider-Man, awesome character. There's really not, I mean, power is super unique. Is there other characters that have anything relatively like, obviously the characters that were then based on him, Venom and those type of things. But super unique power. It's hard to find that in here. It's like a lot of times it's just like, oh, he's strong. Oh, he flies. My guy shoots webs. Plus, our last name is Webb, so.
Exactly. That might have always been something that drew me to him,
pretty,
too.
Pretty sick. My number 5 is Captain America. And so there's a lot of reasons. A lot of it does play towards, like, video games. I did play him a lot in some older video games that I liked. He's just a cool character. But I also like, for me, there's another layer of, excuse me. Obviously, like, we're not characters within this universe. We're outside, right? So there's a fourth wall for us. We understand these are like, this is a comic book, a movie, or whatever. And I love the idea that there was a character created out of propaganda. So when Captain America came out, the comic was written to, like, kind of invigorate the country and get, like, and more patriotism. That was kind of the whole idea of it. I really like the fact that there was a character born out of that. Okay. And, you know, these stacks pretty cool. I'm red, white, and blue, tried and true, baby. Okay. Stars and stripes, let's go. And he fucking hits people with a shield made of metal. It's pretty sick.
Okay. I can't say anything. I always found him boring. I know that sounds terrible.
No, I agree.
But go ahead.
I can agree. I can see why people would say that. Again, it's a shield. He doesn't have weapons. He's augmented. He's not really like his gifts aren't superheroes in the a superpower in the traditional sense. He is a project, you know. He's created. And there's more than just him. There's Captain Britain. He's an experiment that happened to a lot of people, but him specifically, what he stands for is kind of...
I got you. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The way you described that, I guess boring is more, I guess, irrelevant, because I'm on board with your reasoning for why he's on your list.
Yeah, it's not necessarily... it's that's why I said it's meta. That's why I prefaced it with all, like, we exist outside. If I was in the universe, you know, if you're a little kid and superheroes really do exist, Captain America is probably not your favorite, because he's just a strong dude. He can run fast, and he has a shield, you know, and he says cool shit. But
his friends are cooler.
He also has leadership quality. Like, yeah. It takes a... The Avengers don't happen without a person like Captain America. You know, Tony Stark, as much as I like the guy, or Thor, all those people, they can't manage a group like that. They're more solo guys. They can work on a team. They can't lead a team.
Okay.
Can I hop in on here real quick?
Yeah.
You want my top 5?
Yes. Okay. Let's hear it, Landon.
I'm going to have to go with Carnage. For top 5.
Top 5? Okay. I respect that.
He's pretty dope.
Like, that's your number 5? Or...
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he can... He's pretty stupid. Like, he's not smart. He's not as smart as Venom.
I think it's debatable, but...
Can I ask you something before you continue? Have you known anything about Carnage until the most recent movie?
No.
Okay, so everything you're basing off of is that movie?
Yeah.
Venom, Let There Be
Carnage. Okay, that's fine. You like that movie?
Yes, yeah, pretty
sweet. It was a great movie, okay.
I think the first one was better. Just to be fair to, like, I like both characters. I think the second one was a little underwhelming.
The second Venom movie. Oh, okay. The newest movie. But as far as Carnage goes, Carnage was, that's the first movie he's been in.
Yeah, and they casted him fucking beautifully.
Yes, okay. But he hasn't been in any other, Carnage has never appeared in any movie other than that, right? Okay.
No, I was saying, like, compared to the first Venom movie.
First Venom and second.
And this one, okay. It was a little bit underwhelming, especially introducing a character like Carnage.
I have my qualms with it, but we'll get to my opinion of Carnage in a little bit, too. I just wanted to know if it was if you read it in comics or anything else, but
no,
that's fine. All right,
I'm glad you said it though. I want to get towards your top five though, because now we're getting into the real, like,
yeah,
you better have some reasoning, like with Captain America. A lot of people would say top five, what the hell? But if you have some true reasoning,
was that your five?
Captain America is my top five.
Okay, this is a perfect segue because you just mentioned his name, talking about the movie Venom.
Okay,
Venom is my number five. He's one of those Punisher guys. I mean, he's a vigilante. He can be more of a villain, I guess.
I think a lot of times he does lean more towards villainy, and that's more just kind of based on what the symbiotes are, what they represent. So, yeah. But Eddie Brock, I think, is where you get. That's where it kind of leans more. He kind of guides that symbiote to be a little more
good. That's what I like. I like that dynamic about the two. Whereas Carnage. That motherfucker's just full on crazy bad villain. Again, we'll get back to Carnage.
But, yeah, we definitely.
But that's why I've got Venom at my number five. And again, going back to Spider-Man, when I think Spider-Man, I also always think Venom.
Always, and it's literally one of the three best Spider-Man villains. Like, you can't really create something better for Spider-Man than a Venom-like character, and Eddie Brock even. Like, I kind of see that too. Like, anytime I think about heroes, I also think about who they are outside of their suit, if you will. You know, like. Again, Eddie Brock is a big reason that Venom is a cool character.
Yeah.
Peter Parker's a good reason why Spider-Man is a good character. You know?
What do you think of their casting choice for Venom?
Why did I just forget his name?
I can't remember his name either.
He's hot. Let's just say that. He's a beautiful man. I like the casting choice. I think Sony has made a lot of good casting choices with Venom. I just don't know... if I love the direction they went with the second movie. That's okay. Just my own personal thing about it. But yeah, I think it's a good casting choice.
Okay.
So then we're moving on to four, huh? We're getting into the...
Wait. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I forgot. You started. I was waiting for you to tell me your five, but your five was Captain America. My bad.
Yep, and this is why I said earlier, I was going to segue real quick, because we already kind of talked about it, so I'll just say it, and we can kind of roll into yours. But Spider-Man is my number four.
Okay.
Kind of has the same reasons. It's just such a hard character to not like. And every rendition that there's been of the character, Peter Parker that has, organic webs that gets, more of like a natural spider ability versus ones that are more tech-based, or Spider-Man 2099, Miles Morales' Spider-Man. Like, all the different versions of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's just a really cool, unique power that you don't see. And what I really, really like about Spider-Man that... you don't get in a lot of other villains, heroes. I guess even villains, too, is that while a lot of them get their, like, whatever their purpose is, they get that at a younger age, they don't become villains and stuff till later. Peter Parker is a hero as a teenager. You know, he gets bitten usually in that early high school kind of time, and he decides then to become a hero. That's really cool to me.
Yeah. You just reminded me. I can't believe I didn't mention it when I was talking about Spider-Man. At least for the animated series. It starts out with him being a wrestler. That's where the mask and everything comes.
Yeah, I mean, it happens in the first movie.
And I am a fucking huge wrestling fan. Did it happen in the very first one?
Not in the first one of the current MCU, but in the Tobey Maguire, in the Sam Raimi Spider-Verse.
Okay, I thought I remembered it being...
Yeah, he has a fucked up little suit where it's just like a sweater with a web on it. He puts a
okay,
red
okay,
mask.
Yeah, right.
He beats a dude up in a steel cage.
So I didn't mention that, so I wanted to bring it up now. What is your four? Since you're in the top five now, what is your four?
I think he only had a five. You put him on the spot.
You said you wanted to get in the top five. You don't want to do any more?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay. You got to think for a second?
Yeah.
That's all right. Let me say mine and then you can say it or... Okay. My number four, I'm bringing the first DC character onto our top 10 list.
Okay, so guys, if you're listening, skip a few minutes ahead. You don't want to hear what's about to be said.
This is not true. DC is good, too.
Yeah, subpar, but
DC,
no, I don't disagree.
I didn't say they were better. I said they're good,
okay,
too.
Good. As long as you can admit it.
Yeah. I've got Two-Face. I know some people will probably say Joker. I know some people will maybe even go out there and say like Riddler or whatever, which I like them too. But my favorite character from Batman...
Two-Face over Joker, really?
Yes, Two-Face over Joker. Now, we talk movies?
Two-Face over Darkseid?
Two-Face, I'm telling you. Two-Face is... I've just always been drawn to Two-Face. Now, if we go movies-wise, then I'm going to say the Jokers have been better, but...
Why, the Two-Face in the movie was...
Right.
Barely. Two-Face was like a scene and a half. And he was no face.
I like... going. You talk about how it's something original.
That was good, right? That was so good. Slow clap. All
right, I'll give you a slow clap. All right, now we're done. Two-Face, to me, is original idea. There's not... any other thing you could think, oh, I guess there's probably things similar, but to me, Two-Face is an original kind of thing. Half his face, whether it's from acid or whatever the character would be from, is different than what other things are. And the fact that he had that coin, something drew me to having a coin when I was a kid. I had this little purple plastic coin, and I scratched one side of that, and I would flip it every once in a while, and whatever... side it landed on, I would choose to do a bad thing or a good thing. So something stupid like a kid would do, but...
Yeah. I think that's kind of funny, too, because it's like, he's a villain, right? But all his villainous acts are kind of based on like a 50-50 chance. Like, sometimes won't do it.
Yep.
Just because of coin flip.
Yep.
So it's like, he almost doesn't even feel like a villain. He's like...
He's still a villain, though.
He's like, I could be, depending on what this coin says, you know? Do I kill the babies?
Could be. Maybe not. It could be your lucky day or might not.
Well, didn't he burn a... maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. I thought he burned a maternity ward in that movie. The movie that we're talking about when he first... the shitty Two-Face.
Batman Forever, right? Yeah. Isn't that...
I thought he burned a... maybe I'm completely wrong, guys. Don't at me. Housekeeping.
I don't do housekeeping anymore. We stopped doing it.
He only does it for our podcast.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. I just gave you...
probably Doctor Strange...
respectable.
Doctor Strange. Okay.
I had a hard time not putting Doctor Strange on my list, honestly.
Really?
Because of the recent media that Doctor Strange has been in, the last few movies. Obviously, I know he's in this newer Spider-Man movie. I don't know the plot, so I don't want to talk about that, but...
He dies.
That's funny. That's actually funny.
Okay, so Doctor Strange is your number 4. We got Carnage and the Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Is there a reasoning behind this one?
Well, I mean, he's pretty sweet. He can... build.
So Carnage is dope, and Strange is sweet. All right,
I agree with both of those sentiments. I'm just
he can do portals, make shields.
He's kind of just a character that, you know, his powers are about as vast as your imagination can be. He can tap into different dimensions. So he, like you said, he can create a portal. He can make a shield. He can go to a different dimension. He can harness the power of a mirror dimension. You can shoot him with a bullet, and he can send the bullet into another dimension, then open the dimension behind you and shoot you with your own bullet. Pretty cool. Sweet as he said.
It'd also be dope, though. Right?
Well, I mean... Dude, look, I'm gonna go right along, and I'm gonna stick with dope, because Carnage is my number 3.
Okay. I'm loving the Carnage love here.
Just
put that out there.
Carnage has always been... one of my favorites. It's really hard to pick my top 3, honestly, but I feel like over the years I've grown a little bit more towards my 1 and 2, whereas earlier in my life I would say Carnage, because I just like the idea, as he said, like, stupid, but I don't think it's necessarily stupidity. It's the fact of, like, what you said is, the way that symbiotes work is that they do want to take over these planets, right? That's kind of their concept in general, but when Venom meets with Eddie Brock, they're so good for each other that they kind of meet somewhere in the middle of that. What happens with Carnage is that the Carnage symbiote is attached to a guy who's a literal lunatic.
Yeah,
he's and so a it's, serial killer. It's perfect, because instead, it's like being in a bad relationship where you both feed each other's toxicity. You know, like, they don't, there's no, whereas Eddie Brock might say, hey, Venom, we're not going to eat this dude today. Carnage is like, why are we only eating 2 people? There's 10 people in this room. You know? Oh, why'd you only break his neck? Shouldn't we disembowel him? Like, he's a very visceral. That's one of the reasons I love him, is viscerality even a word?
It is now.
the viciousness as to which, like, he goes about things is great to me. And I've always loved the tendrils, like,
yes,
the, you know, all the different uses, like, in the animated series, for instance, one of my favorite ones, Ultimate Spider-Man, he gets, or am I confusing, I think it's Ultimate Spider-Man. Spider-Man in this gets transferred into another dimension where Carnage and Venom are basically ruling shit, right? And a big thing that Carnage does in this is creates weapons with his body, big axes, you know, he'll turn into fucking different vehicles, weird shit. Mm. And I always love that. Venom doesn't really usually go that far. He kind of sticks with the pseudo web slinging, big bulky hits and stuff, yeah. Where Carnage is a little more unique when it comes to the way he goes about doing these acts of violence. And fucking violent are they, right?
Yeah.
Beautifully yes. Violent, yes. Well, I mean, all the symbiotes kind of do, but...
Huh? There's gonna be a new one.
Oh, there's a lot of symbiotes. Screech, yeah. Screech, Riot, but Carnage to me is the best symbiote.
100.
Because of the
absolutely.
Because it feels like, I know you said stupid, but it feels like the Carnage symbiote itself was very genius in deciding its host. You know, and deciding to go with the host.
I don't even think. Go ahead. I'll let you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's all right. The it's just that their views are aligned. The way that they see the world is just aligned, yeah. And I feel like it feeds into making the perfect type of villain.
Agreed. All I was going to say is I don't really think even Cletus Cassidy, which is the human of Carnage, is stupid. I think he's more insane.
Yes.
I understand why you say stupid, but...
Reckless, I think, is a better word.
Reckless, yeah.
I think
yeah.
Reckless is kind of a...
He's psycho.
Psycho, yes. He's definitely 100%. Psychotic. And that's part of... My personal draw or appeal to, yes. Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
That's why he's in my top three and has always been up towards the top for me, is that honestly the psychoticness.
I love it.
Unhinged is really the best word. Like,
there's a lot of words you can use, but
you can keep going. But.
Okay. My number three is another one. You may or may not even know who it is. But I do, because again, going back to when I was a kid playing with the action figure. It's one that I always played with. And if I did my wrestling fed with my action figures, he was almost always my champion.
Okay.
Omega Red.
Who's that?
Right? He's not in any of the movies. He probably never will be. I would love to see an origin story of it. But he's just a villain. He's just a generic. I wouldn't say generic, but he's not one of the top guys. He's not like Magneto. He's not like Apocalypse, Thanos, or any of the ones that you would know. Okay. He's a villain. He's got yellow hair, big old ponytail. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I don't know.
He's got a big old ponytail, yellow, blonde, but I say yellow because it was comic.
I feel like it's kind of a...
He's almost metal looking, but he's not metal. Like, it's more of his attire that he's wearing is metal or whatever.
Metallic, yeah.
And he's red and white, and then he's got, not tentacles, but he's got long fucking... Metal.
He looks like Baraka, basically. Like his.
No, Baraka's got the claws.
Yeah, the shirt.
Underneath, he's got one single from each, like a tentacle. But I can't. There's another word for it. It's metal, and it's kind of like Doc Ock's things.
Okay.
Whatever that is, and that's what he got. His that, and he's really strong. He's just a badass. Again, it goes back to when I was a kid. I was playing with the action figure. I remember him always being one of my top guys.
Sure.
He's not in any of the movies. I would love to see it personally, but.
I mean, to be fair, these lists are arbitrary in general, so it's like, would you, realistically, if you take out the nostalgia you have for this character, this toy, does he really make the top 10 at that point?
Probably not, if I took that out.
Yeah, but that is part of it. That is something that would make
it your
favorite.
And that's also why
he's
so high up, is just because I remember him from my childhood.
Yeah, I agree. So. I'm on board with that logic, honestly, 100%. I don't know the character. To be honest, he doesn't even sound... that interesting to me. He kind of seems
like I
three say, different characters mashed together. But
he wasn't a top bad guy, but
he's like Spider-Man's Big Wheel. That is the worst villain to ever exist. Big Wheel. It's a Spider-Man villain who just rides in a giant wheel.
What?
It's like a big ass wheel. Just
that's a terrible.
Look
that's
it
terrible
up afterwards.
I will. That one's terrible.
It is okay. Terrible.
Well, there you go. That's my number three, Omega Red. Oh, another reason. I guess not a reason, but it's just something, a little side story. My mom used to work at a gas station called Omega,
mm-hmm.
and she has red hair, so her nickname was Omega Red.
I kind of feel like what I was going to say when you first brought up the character, you said he had long blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they dropped the ball heavily by not just giving him red hair.
But then it'd be too much red, because his body is pretty much red. But his name is literally red.
Omega Red. Literally. His skin should be red. His fucking like teeth and eyes should be red.
That's too much red.
Are the tentacles, carnage. Are the tentacles red?
No, they're silver. The only thing that's red is his...
So then he shouldn't be called red. Omega Red. He should just be called, like, a little red.
Okay, well, we've already established several times that their names suck anyways.
Sometimes, yeah. True, true, true.
All right, what's your number three, man?
Deadpool.
Okay. Respectable. I can respect that.
I don't know. I'm just a big fan of Deadpool. I've at least watched the movies thousands of times.
Okay.
I don't know why, but he's definitely my top three.
I feel like Deadpool's a character a lot of people gravitate towards because of the fact that he has a power that, and it's funny because I brought it up earlier, the reason I like Captain America is that fourth wall that we have as, you know, viewers. Deadpool's actually has a legitimate power to break the fourth wall. Mm-hmm. That's very likable to a lot of people. So agreed. I can see why you say that. And it's very comical.
No, I was going to say, not to mention the fucking comical.
Oh, and you want to talk about casting choices. Outside of, you know, a few that, my number one and probably a few, like Matt Murdock in the Daredevil series. Outside of, like, those people, that's pretty much one of the best casting choices they've ever made. Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. Like, he legitimately
is Deadpool.
He does interviews in Deadpool costume, and you're like, oh, Deadpool's real. Yeah. That's awesome. Exactly.
Have you seen those videos?
No.
Look up, you're a YouTube watcher. Just look up some Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool
videos. He does legitimate interviews that aren't about the Deadpool movie in the Deadpool suit playing the Deadpool character.
And it's great.
Pretty sick.
It's great.
My favorite part of Deadpool, just before we continue on, I want to make a small aside, is there's a specific scene, I believe it's at the end of Deadpool 2, where he does this fourth wall breaking thing to, like, another level, where he goes throughout the universes that Ryan Reynolds himself has done. So Ryan Reynolds was the Green Lantern, right?
Yeah.
Terrible, terribly, terribly shitty movie. Yeah. Well, in the credit scene, Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool walks up behind Ryan Reynolds reading the Green Lantern script and shoots him in the head.
I haven't seen that one.
Ryan Reynolds goes to the old X-Men movie, X-Men Origins. Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool shows up in there, and it's actually Ryan Reynolds too. But it's this fucked up weird version of Deadpool that they created where he's basically he just has powers of a bunch of different mutants. Deadpool kills him too. So it's like he goes back through and, like, takes out all the shitty versions of himself, and I kind of really like that. But... All right, but then just, you know, kind of going right into number two. We're getting towards the top tier of the list. So if three, I'll give you a pass for it being, like, a really unknown character that you have just this nostalgic love for. That's fine. But two and one, we need good reasoning. And for me, okay. I think it might be my only X-Men on this whole list.
Damn.
He's actually not an X-Men, but sort of an X-Men. Magneto.
That falls under the X-Men.
Yeah. Okay. He's an X-Men character, but he isn't an X-Men. That's kind of what I meant.
I got you. Okay.
He's sort of the antithesis of X-Men. The reason I love a character like that, again, it's kind of a lot of things, but part of it is similar to that Captain America thing where there's a meta to why the character was created. A lot of it is based around the civil rights movement in the, I want to say, was it 60s? So whenever Magneto first came out, don't tell me on the exact... Wasn't
it closer around World War I? That's the 40s, isn't it? Mm. Or am I way off on time?
I mean, World War II is the 40s. World War I is 1919, but...
All right, so was it
I think it was the 50s, 60s is when Magneto was introduced. I wanted to say the 60s to be sure, but now people are going to get on me. It's my second favorite, and I don't know the exact fucking origin. Yeah. Eat my ass, all right? Anyways, the whole point is that it's kind of like... Even though they use mutants and stuff, it is based around that sort of same idea that the civil rights movement had around that time. Is like, you know, just because one person is black or some person is white, you know, why should people be treated any differently? And that's kind of Magneto's whole thing. Is like, sure, we're mutants, but we don't need to be casted out of society. They don't need to have their own little separate parts. And to him, it's like, you know, we're even actually better than just humans are, and they treat us like garbage. So that's kind of why he leads, you know, a civil rights movement for mutants, and I've always liked that. And, you know, there's the dichotomy. There's Professor X, which is, like, kind of his main companion, but also his main, I wouldn't say like, villain's a terrible word, but like the main person he clashes up against is the X-Men and Professor X, because it's, again, means and ends. They both kind of feel the same way. Why are mutants, you know, being put aside?
It's a Martin Luther. It was the same with civil rights. It's a Martin Luther King, Malcolm X.
That's exactly what it is. He's honestly, Magneto's based a lot on a Malcolm X type character, where they will go to those extremes to show the disparity in the treatment here. Whereas, like, Professor X kind of embraced it. He's like, sure, if they're going to cast us out, I'll create a safe place for mutants to be. And Magneto's like, we don't need that. We can be integrated. And, yeah, sure, he does. He's done a lot of fucked up things. But I think his end truly does justify most of his means. And, honestly, the power kind of ridiculously broken. Like, if we go across the rest of both of our list, he kind of just annihilates most of them. Magnetism and metal are his main powers. How many people have metal on their suits? Yeah. He can literally just crush them.
Yeah, true.
He flies just based on magnetism. Like, he can actually do powers that other characters have, like with psychics, just based on magnetism. Like, he has such a wide breadth of power just based on those two things. It's kind of ridiculously broken. There's not many people that match him as far as, like, power level. Until you go to, like, god, like, Galactus-type beings.
Right.
Because, like, we could just go rapid fire. You could name him, and you'd be like, yeah, he kills him. Including, I'll just give a little sneak peek, including my number one gets trounced.
Wiped, yeah.
In most cases. I mean, well, I'll make the case for him. And
okay. All right.
Move on. But Magneto is just character-wise, power-wise, just an all-around great character. And I always argue against villain. My friend Tom likes to always say villain, and I just don't feel he's a villain. I just don't feel like
he's on the fence. It's a
I feel like he resides in a category of his own. So you have the heroes, you have the anti-heroes, you have villains. I feel like he's more anti-villain, where he's definitely on the brutal side of the villainy, but for a truly heroic reason, you know?
Right, yeah. He's not just gonna crush somebody just to crush somebody. Yeah. So yeah, I agree with that. Alright, I'm gonna do mine. But just so you know, you're number two. All right. And you heard him. You gotta have good reason, okay?
Okay,
mine,
we wouldn't say he's really like a superhero or a villain. He's like in between all of them.
Sure, I love those.
Yeah. Half of my list has been that.
I kind of think, though, when you really boil it down, almost all heroes really are, because to some degree you're taking the law into your own hand. You are deciding that you have the ability to say what is right and wrong. So kind of there really is always a gray area in vigilantism. You know, you're beating people up whether they're a good person or bad. I don't think it's okay to beat the shit out of most people. There's like a small group of people that I would say, fuck that guy up.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
But.
All right. Well, you want to give yours now? Or you want me to give mine?
You give it first.
Okay. Top two. Going back to X-Men.
Of course.
And stay on villain. And I don't care what you say. I think he would destroy Magneto. Apocalypse.
No chance.
Apocalypse is destroying everybody. That's what a fucking apocalypse is.
No chance. But
go ahead. Why would Magneto be able to defeat Apocalypse?
Same reason he can defeat everybody else. He can literally pull the iron out of your body. You know, everybody has blood. He can literally just deprive. He can rip your inside out.
Okay.
And that's it. That's how he kills 99% of people. Even if you don't have metal on you, you have metal within you.
What about the 1%?
Those would be people that aren't necessarily anatomically the same as humans or godlike, where they don't.
So
they
Apocalypse, because Apocalypse is a god.
He bleeds though. He can have the iron stripped from his body, which would be very gruesome and terrible. And also, doesn't he?
All right, whatever.
Doesn't he have a little? He's metal number two right on my list. Head?
What?
Doesn't he usually have a little bit of metal right around his
I'm
head?
I'm sure there's some way to get around that. Apocalypse is my number two. Apocalypse is the best X-Men character, in my opinion. No X-Men character touches him, including Magneto.
Besides Magneto.
But Magneto's your boy.
I think that's what you meant to say.
But Magneto's your boy, so it's all right. But I got Apocalypse. And this is one of the reasons why I asked you about the tier with Galactus and Thanos.
Okay.
Where would, in your opinion, where does Apocalypse fall in that? Because he is godlike. I mean, he's a god, basically.
Yes, but so is Thanos.
Right.
Thanos is the son, is the son of...
I'm just saying that too. So
an Eternal.
Thanos is not even good. He's only good with the Infinity Stones.
That's not true at all.
Yeah.
Before he ever had a single Infinity Stone, he wiped out half the population of at least 30 planets. Gamora, his daughter, Nebula, his daughter, were both people that he captured from planets that he killed most people.
What is wiping out a population called? What is that called?
Genocide?
What is another word for it?
No.
Apocalypse.
That's not actually what that means
at all. It absolutely is.
It's not. But no, I think I would, honestly, I would probably put him right along the level of a Thanos character.
And you put Thanos with Galactus.
In some
situations.
If Thanos has the Infinity Stones, yes. If he doesn't, then no.
Okay.
So right. I would say Apocalypse and base form Thanos are around that.
Could Magneto take out Thanos and Galactus?
Yes.
You're really on the Magneto train, okay.
Yeah, Magneto is one of the most... just objectively, his power, they didn't think about it. They didn't future-proof it. That's the reason he's so broken. They didn't future-proof his... They literally made comics where he did that. Yeah. He pulled the iron out of people's blood, and once you do that, you have to create characters with no blood to be able to kind of beat him.
I was going to say that they can use the whole... he doesn't want to turn on his own kind thing, but technically he's already done that, so that's why...
He's fine with killing mutants.
Yeah, that's...
He's fine with killing anybody that gets within his way of...
I feel that maybe there might be a way you can incorporate that whole like theory, though. Not necessarily caring about killing mutants, but like Apocalypse or Thanos or whatever can play on those heartstrings of Magneto and get them to think... that they're on the same side opposed to... That's all I was saying.
I guess you could go with that. That would probably be the only way. You would have to trick him into some sort of like companionship of a sort in the backstab.
But there. Trick him into companionship. There, I could have said it a lot quicker with
those words. Yeah, but I just don't know if that is... Professor X is one of his greatest friends. He never gets really the chance to do that. So I don't know if I see a stranger doing it. So that's just me. But I'll say this for, again, they didn't future-proof the character. His power is ridiculously, just he's overpowered, but they've tried many times, because obviously he's a character that interacts with other people, to make roundabouts to how he doesn't kill people, including, like I said, my number one. There are ways that people have defeated him, and they are somewhat legitimate, but I just think they made him a little too strong off
okay.
for it.
All right.
Okay.
You're on the seat now.
Well, he's technically a villain in the movie. They say he's a villain. Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Another DC.
Deadshot. Right. He's
Deadshot. The Will Smith character?
Yeah. He's definitely my top two.
Why?
Because, well, I mean, he's a hitman. And in the movie, I don't know. He's just good. He can kill people in good ways, bad ways.
You're definitely right, though, along the lines of what you said. He's not quite hero, not quite villain. That's really the shtick of the Suicide Squad, is they're all villains that sort of failed at what they did, and they get assembled to do a heroic task. But they're still all villains, you know?
Yeah, like Harley Quinn and Joker. Mm-hmm. They're definitely...
The thing I would say about Deadshot, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, put down your pick or anything, but I feel like it's a little bit that you're underexposed to the actual universe of heroes, because there's a lot of people that have very similar powers to him, like Bullseye, and I think there's better characters than what Deadshot is. Will Smith's character specifically, I didn't love. That's the Suicide Squad movie, that one, the first one, hot garbage. The newest one that they just released is actually pretty good.
I see that one.
That's pretty good. With the giant star dude?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. The one with Will Smith, specifically Will Smith's character, I kind of dislike a lot. Okay. I also dislike Will Smith, so I'm just a hater.
Wow, really?
Well, I do love Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but...
Yeah. We're not going to talk about Will Smith.
We're not going to talk about Will Smith, so...
I like Will Smith, but... All right. That's...
Fair enough.
It's but respectable.
DC is number two. I like it. I like it.
I don't, but I...
Yeah, I don't. All right. Here it is. This last one. What is your top one? Better have one, Landon.
Well, it's not just my number one, but it is the number one across the board. If you don't... When you say yours, it's going to sound like this to me. And that's Iron Man. Tony Stark, Iron Man. It's just an unbeatable character. And I don't mean that in the sense of, like, how I said Magneto. His power's unbeatable. I just mean in what the character is. Like, Tony Stark is just such a cool person. Like, wouldn't you want to be Tony Stark? A badass billionaire playboy philanthropist? Come on, man. And a genius.
If I was a good guy, I guess that would probably be the good guy I want to be.
What do you mean? That's a great bad guy, too. He's a fantastic bad guy if he wants to be. A genius jerk off with a lot of money and, you know. The other reason I like Iron Man a lot, for one, is just like what you were saying earlier. It's nostalgia. I played him in a lot of games. Let's be honest. Tony Stark and Iron Man were the birth of this current boom in hero movies and interest in all this. It was Iron Man. There can't even be a debate around that. Without Iron Man 2008, we don't have any of the Disney Plus, the Daredevil Punisher series that we both just said are fantastic. None of those even happen. They don't even get pitched because of how shitty superhero movies were before that, including Daredevil, Punisher, and all those other fucking janky movies. And then just the character, too, he's always been... I'm trying to think of what the word is. Where his tech... is influential, like even right now, it's influential beyond his own lifespan.
Right.
It continues to be a big plot point in other characters' movies and other characters', you know, storylines. And as an Avenger, as a part of the Avenger, like we said earlier, Captain America's like the only one that can kind of lead them. But without Tony Stark's tech, without Tony Stark's, you know, genius, the stuff that he gives them, that's what augments that team a lot more. He creates a lot of tech specific for these people, including Hulkbuster, including a shield that actually comes back to Cap, because when they wrote the character, how did they not think about that? He throws the shield, and then what? He runs to pick it up?
That's true.
No, Tony Stark said, bro, why don't it just come back to you?
Maybe they did that was intentional.
Yeah, okay. Maybe, probably. He was also based in the 40s, so I kind of get it, but I don't know. I just think, in general, he plays such a big role, even outside of the MCU. In the MCU, like the current universe of Marvel films, he's kind of the linchpin to everything. But even before that, in comics and all that, he's always played a huge part because of that. He gives this tech to other heroes, to other, you know, enhanced humans, you would call them. And he created the Iron Legion, which is fucking super cool. And War Machine, bro. What's cooler than War Machine, bro? It's basically just Iron Man, but like instead of the flashy tech, they're like,
Iron Man.
Here's a missile launcher. Here's an... Have you seen the War Machine?
Yeah.
Come on, man. It's fantastic. It's just brutal, rudimentary, just guns and bombs.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. Stark is human, right?
Stark is human. Completely
all
human.
All of his powers are his technology.
No.
Yes.
It's his intellect. It's his power.
Okay.
He created an element.
I'm not trying to downplay him or anything. I was just trying to make sure
That's why he's so great. That's what I'm saying. That's the whole reason that makes him...
Okay.
He is not enhanced.
Okay. All right.
But he beats a lot of enhanced people quite often. And in the first Avengers movie, he saves the world. He flies a nuke into space.
I'm not arguing. I just wanted to...
No,
clarify.
You're completely right. He is human. And yes, I guess in a way you could say his powers are just... his tech, but his power is the ability to create this tech. That's really what his power is. And just cunningness. He has a really good ability to adapt during battle. You know, it's not just, I have fucking laser beams I can shoot people with.
Two questions for you, then. Yeah. One, is Batman the DC's equivalent?
And people always bring that up.
That's why I wanted to ask. Why do you say no, it's not? Because Batman is human, no superpowers.
Yeah,
his powers are technology.
Yeah, but his power is not being a genius to create the technology.
Yeah, Iron Man's way smarter than him. Iron Man's better. That's my top one.
Okay.
Iron Man.
Iron Man's your top one, too?
Yeah, he literally made a suit for Hulk, Spider-Man, and he has, like, 8 suits.
All right, so he shares the wealth. Batman doesn't.
He actually made far more. In Iron Man 3, if you go back and watch it, towards the end, Pepper Potts, which is his love interest, she basically tells him, I want you to drop this whole superhero thing. You've done enough to save everybody. And he goes, all right. And he uses all his suits to blow them up and create, like, fireworks and shit.
500.
Yeah, there's 50 in that movie. Which was all Mark 50 is the armor he uses in Endgame. That's his 50th version of the armor. And that's why I brought up the Magneto thing. Magneto, most of the time, just crushes him into a little minuscule can, and all you do is see a bunch of blood fly out. But Iron Man is so genius that he's created nanotech that isn't necessarily created out of metal and things like that. So he has found ways to bypass people and powers that are far beyond him. I mean, he fought Thanos. He's fought and defeated, outside of just the movies, but like in the comics and stuff, he's defeated people that he has no business defeating. And there's not a lot of people, I think, that do that, besides, like, obviously we brought up Squirrel Girl and Galactus, but those are misnomers.
Not gonna lie, in my opinion, the first Iron Man movie is probably my favorite.
I can't disagree. It's one of the best superhero movies, period. Again, it created all this.
He created a suit from scratch in a cell.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a cell.
It was like a cave.
Yeah. And then he gets out, kills all the guards there.
Yep.
But he gets shot down, you could say. I mean, yeah.
But I like him too, though, because, and too, in this movie, that the one that he's referencing, this part is, he has a choice to become a hero. There's a lot of people that are kind of forced into that sort of thing, like the Captain Americas and stuff. He was sort of always born a hero, but they experiment on him, and now he really doesn't have a choice but to be this enhanced person that defends, you know, the honor, whatever. Tony Stark at any point can just say, no, I'm good. I have $1 billion, multi-billion dollars. I have, you know, Pepper. He has whatever he wants.
Literally.
Even in the endgame, he's moved on. He said, look, we lost. I have a family now. It's over. But then he goes, you know what? I'm the only person that can figure out time travel, and then he just fucking does it with a popsicle stick in his mouth. That's his power, bro. Okay. He's sitting on the couch and goes, time travel? I got you.
Okay. First off, if we took nostalgia and everything out of it, and I just went strictly off of, like that powers and just mainstay, or I guess, whatever you want to call it, Iron Man would probably be in my top 10. But he's not, because I have some nostalgia stuff in there.
Yeah, for other people. I respect that.
Back to my original question. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Andy.
I like it. That's good. It's good. Especially you chipping in. I like it. Why is he not, or why is Batman not the equivalent to Tony Stark? Because they're both billionaires. They both rely on tech. Intelligence, because of the...
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say their powers are the tech. Why is Batman not the DC equivalent to Iron Man?
I mean, there's definitely several reasons. One, obviously, the intellect we've already touched on. And
Bruce Wayne's a pretty smart man. Is he fucking Tony Stark?
No.
Level
he's
smart?
Not even
no.
relatively close.
But he's not an idiot either.
No, he's not stupid. He's more of a tactical guy. And this is another thing, too. Batman, all the times that he usually went, this is something that nobody can deny. It happens all the time. Normally what happens when Batman runs into a villain is the first time he gets his ass whooped. Then he goes back and he preps. He's a master of figuring out what he needs to do afterwards. Tony Stark figures that out during the battle, right?
Just a different type of intelligence, but okay.
Okay. Anyways, another thing is that what drives them is completely a lot different. Obviously, Batman, Bruce Wayne loses his family, and a lot of his is vengeance. It's very vengeance-based, right? Whereas Tony Stark is... It's more pure-hearted and just being heroic because he has the ability to do so. Like I said before, he chose to be a hero because he knows that if not me, who else? I have this ability. I need to do that with great power, whatever you want to say, great responsibility. And then again, like with the whole family thing, yes, Tony Stark's dad was also, you know, he had a lot of money and all that, but Tony Stark did make his own wealth as well, you know? Batman didn't. He inherited all his wealth is inherited.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's put in a universe where both of them start off without money. Tony Stark still gets money because he knows how to do that. Batman probably doesn't. Without starting with a huge chunk of wealth, I don't see him creating that. He's just an angry guy. That's all he is. He probably would just beat people up in the street and say, this is Gotham.
Okay.
So, there's a lot of nuances. I guess you can go deeper into the character, but...
Everything you said is 100% correct.
I hate the comparison.
Not to say everything that you said is 100% correct. But something you could have said a lot simpler, and I would have not been able to question it. What does Iron Man defend? Like...
Well...
You can go... You can
to say, be fair, he's an Avenger. He doesn't defend. He avenges.
Avenges. Okay. What is he protecting? But, what does Iron Man protect?
Fucking everything. The world. Everything. The multiverse. The universe.
What does Batman protect? Gotham City.
And himself, really. That's
I like Batman.
I don't. I actually... That's why I really hate this comparison. Batman is one of my least favorite.
That right there, anybody tries to say, how are they not the same? That's all you have to say.
Well, but it's...
My dude fucking defends multiverse. Your dude defends fucking Gotham City. Get the fuck out of here, man.
But, I mean, to a certain extent, there are times when Batman has been on teams that do larger, you know, bigger goals. But, yes, in general, he's Gotham City. And really, to be honest, like I said, it's more of a selfish character, Batman. A lot of it is based on his own pure... Gosh, that was very unappealing. Pure rage. His hatred, whatever you want to call it, his sadness of... Oh, I have no daddy, no mommy, that kind of shit. Where Iron Man is more like, he's finding a way to, you know, he hated his dad growing up because he was gone so much. And then as an older person, he kind of gets to realize why that happened. His dad, while he didn't don a suit or anything, he had the same thing. He had that ability to help people, to help the world. And he decided that's worth me sacrificing time with my own family. This has to be done because if I don't do it, either no one will, or bad people will do it for bad reasons. So he kind of... It's a lot different, but I agree with you. He definitely doesn't defend as much.
I'll just say Iron Man's better.
Iron Man's definitely better, but we gotta really fucking fight for our man Iron Man, bro.
Hey, I'm not on the side of Batman. I'm just saying. But I have the second question that I said. I had two questions for you. Because we talked about this a few times, casting. Was Robert Downey Jr. the best person to cast as Iron Man?
Yes. Outside of Robert Downey Jr., the only people that come close to me for casting choices, like for superhero roles, are Charlie Cox's as Matt Murdock, Daredevil, and Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. I even, like, as much as I love, what's his name? John, the guy who plays Punisher. I can't remember his last name right now. As much as I love him as the Punisher, and I do think he's casted perfectly, I still think there are other people that would be able to do Punisher.
He also played Bane in Batman.
Did he? I know he played...
Oh, no, never mind. That's Venom. Never mind.
He played Venom in Walking Dead as well. He was Shane in the Walking Dead.
Yes, you're right.
But anyways, like, I feel like there are other people that could also fill the Punisher role to the same level that he did, where I don't think that's the case with, you know, RDJ as Tony Stark. I think Robert Downey Jr., I think he just really is Tony Stark. He kind of almost did it so well to a point where it hindered himself. Like, if I see him in future movies, it's almost not as good, you know?
Okay.
Because he's Tony Stark, bro.
What's your top one?
We should have done mine first, because we've already went so far. What?
You're about to say Iron Man, right?
No.
But remember what I said. Whatever you say, it's going to sound like Iron Man.
Iron Man all you want. But mine is somebody that you've already had on your list.
I know who it is, actually.
You already had on your list.
I know exactly who it is.
Who is it?
Carnage.
That's right. Fucking Carnage. My boy Cletus Cassidy is the best villain in the motherfucking world. Magneto ain't can do a damn thing to him. Tell me what Magneto's going to do to Carnage.
He can still do the same thing. Nothing. There's still a host body.
He'll reappear and fucking be there again.
If you kill the host body, though. If you're talking about the symbiote that is Carnage, sure. But he could kill Cletus. Like that.
Okay, I'm talking about the symbiote.
Yeah, but he could still kill Cletus within the symbiote. And then the symbiote would just have to find a new host.
But he would find a new host.
Not one that vibes with him like Cletus.
Carnage is the best villain, hands down, in my opinion. It's my whole opinion.
I also don't think Magneto's a villain. I want to just reiterate that.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair, too.
Well, Venom beat him. Venom beat Carnage.
I'm getting to it. I'm getting to it, okay? You already talked about the second one not being as good as the first one. I liked the movie, but they did my boy Carnage dirty.
They definitely did.
And I don't understand why they did this, because, no, Venom is not going to beat Carnage, first of all.
Well, he did.
Nor should he have in this movie, because they just killed a character. how are they going to bring Carnage back now? In my opinion, that was the worst fucking possible ending. I liked the movie. I agree. That's the worst possible ending.
I actually want to say something just to defend your position on Carnage. He says Venom beat him, yes, in that movie and all, but it's actually well established. I don't know if they talk about it in the movie, but it's well established in all other forms of media that they've both been in. Venom recognizes that Carnage is actually stronger than him. He's more powerful than him. Venom is actually one of the weakest symbiotes among the symbiote family. It's just that his symbiosis with Eddie Brock is more perfect than the symbiosis that any other symbiotes have with their host. So they're able to harness the power of the symbiote better, whereas a lot of other ones, the symbiote does a lot more controlling than they do, you know, working together. So
I might agree with that. Carnage is definitely stronger than Venom.
Yeah, pure power, it's 100% guaranteed. Yes.
But, I mean, with Eddie Brock, like in the movie, he gets mad at him, and he just goes into other people and starts just eating people, and just goes full rage.
Yep.
And then when he gets back to him, he just full on takes down Carnage. He just eats him.
It's a movie, man.
Movies aren't real, goddammit!
They did him dirty. They shouldn't have. They.
I agree 100%.
I don't agree with that, but.
And then the reason I'm really against it is because that casting choice was really good for Cletus Cassidy. That was a really good casting choice, and they
didn't even live, like, some little small glimmer. They didn't even leave for hope that it could happen again. That's
because a lot of people are speculating is that we're going to get, you know, Venom and some other characters and come over. They're thinking that the Sonyverse is kind of over as it is. Mm. But I agree 100%. They shouldn't have killed him off just that easily, but...
Yeah, he literally just took a bite of him and said, "Tastes disgusting."
Yeah, that's...
And back to my second pick real quick. Also, they did him dirty too, Apocalypse. I think they could have done a lot more with Apocalypse, but...
Yeah, it's funny. So we get back to the X-Men movies when I brought up Magneto, but you were so busy trying to say how he's not overpowered, we didn't get to it. But the reason that they did your boy Apocalypse dirty is because of what I said again with those old Punisher movies, the old Ghost Riders. Bad scripts make bad movies. It doesn't matter if you have the best actors.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if the characters themselves are lovable and great, like a Magneto, a Professor X, a Wolverine. Bad scripts make bad movies, and that's what all of those X-Men movies are. There's like one.
I still like them, but
They're guilty pleasures. They're things you can like, but you can't objectively say, "Hey, these are just great." Because if they were, they would have kept making. They couldn't because people didn't really like them. You know, Days of Future Past for me is like pretty decent, just because you get kind of an earlier look in origin story almost for Magneto, Professor X. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, the X-Men movies in general are just a subpar.
Question. So, like you said, your number one was Iron Man.
Is it?
I agree. Who do you think you'll be the strongest out of, like, all of the heroes and villains? Like, who do you think would be the strongest and who would win?
Well, just pure strength, like pure power. I'm going to say one that probably neither of you even know, but it's called the Beyonder. And it's literally just us. We are those characters. Because there are characters within media, there are comic books, there are movies, we write them. I mean, not us specifically, but the writers of them write them. Sure. So they have complete control over them. They are, therefore, the most powerful. And the only reason I know that's somewhat of a cop-out, but those are real characters within the Marvel Universe.
I've heard of it. I was not familiar with it, but I have heard the Beyonder. Yeah. So, okay.
But if you're going, like, not that, you're just going more, like, things that are within the fourth wall, you have people like the Living Tribunal, Celestials, people that are just on a power level that if anybody has taken them down, it's usually been large teams or it's been very circumstantial. It's hard to beat over, you know, literal gods, like giants that are big as galaxies. How do you do that?
Yeah.
You
know?
How do you do that?
Any more questions?
Nope.
That's all you got? You sure?
Yeah. I think you're the strongest, was really mine. You are the Beyonder. How do you feel about that? This prestige you have?
I don't know.
I had a question.
Pretty sweet, pretty dope.
Pretty dope. Well, thank you, Landon, for participating. I do appreciate it.
And for having Iron Man as your number one, dude, because you're definitely right.
Except for the real answer is Carnage, but that's fine. You both had Carnage on your list.
Hey, he's my top three. Carnage, like I said before, when I was saying it, Carnage, when I was younger, was definitely like my number one. I always picked him over. Actually, I think I might have had it on earlier today. I have a badass Carnage shirt. I love Carnage, dude. It's just a, it's a terrifically written character. You really can't write characters better than that, except for Tony Stark and Iron Man. And again, it comes to, when I think about heroes and villains, I think about them, you know, quote-unquote, outside of their suit. And, you know, Cletus Cassidy is cool outside of the suit, but he's just like, he's a serial killer, just a psychotic guy. So you could find a plethora of those, even in the world we live in,
right? That's what I like about it. Like, the fact that, take the symbiote out of it.
It could be a legitimate person.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have an infatuation with serial killers.
Okay.
Something's wrong with me in my head, apparently, but...
That's my that old lady, too.
That is probably why Carnage, in the core...
Yeah.
Because it could be real. Because that kind of... I wanted to end it off with asking, out of all of the superheroes, not just one on your list, but what superhero, villain, or whatever do you feel is most relatable or could be a real thing? Like, could be out there right now.
Well, right now, I don't know, but, like, I feel like, quite honestly, like an Iron Man-esque character.
I figured that's really, what you were going to say.
It's really not out of the realm of possibility. Obviously, like, an exoskeleton that humans can maneuver in well is not there. But, like, he referenced the first Iron Man. The first Iron Man suit was hardly mobile. It was just a big fucking tank. And he shot a couple missiles and he killed some people. But he progressively makes it better and better and better out of materials that are more usable. And I think at some point, like, do you really think our military, Russian military, these people aren't working on exoskeletons?
No.
That can fly and shoot missiles?
Yeah. They 100% are.
Of course they are. So, yeah.
It already exists, but...
Yes, there's definitely some people out there that could. Like, Tony Stark, he's smart. There's definitely people out there that could make the suit. Like, Elon Musk, he literally made a car that could drive by itself.
I could see Elon... If Elon Musk was, like... You know, a little more driven to do that type of stuff. I can see him becoming Iron Man. That's a pretty good fucking stinger, man. Elon Musk is Iron Man. Yeah. Clickbaitest title I've ever seen. But, like, to just answer your question, like, completely honestly, like, who's out there right now? Because that's kind of a cop-out, because, like, I'm saying that could happen. There's actually a legit vigilante. I don't really want to get too deep into him, because he definitely had, like, some bad shit happen later in his life, but he went by Phoenix Jones. I want to say he was in Arizona. It could have been California or something like that. But he legit made a suit, and he would go up and, like, he would go out with mace and, like, bare hands, and he would beat people up who were robbing people and shit. So, like, there's vigilantes out there. He was actually an MMA fighter, too. Not the best, but he was an MMA fighter. So if I'm going to say, you know, what vigilantes are out there, it's going to be more along the lines of, like, some Moon Knights, a Batman, a character that just needs a couple little weapons, maybe have some fighting acumen.
Punisher.
That's about it.
The Punisher.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's just a hitman, really. That's just a mercenary. He's just kind of a rogue mercenary that works for himself. So, yeah, I could see that. But I feel like a character like the Punisher would be, in this day and age, would get jailed so quickly that you wouldn't really have a long-lasting run as the Punisher.
True story. True.
You know? You'd have to be more along the lines of the pull punches hero than the blow shit up guy.
True story. True. All right. Well, is that all you got as far as talking about superheroes and stuff? You don't have any more questions? Because he is a book of knowledge. That's why I wanted to do this with him.
Yeah. Nothing else.
Nothing else? All right. I know you're not a DC fan.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody has watched the Batmans and the Suicide Squads and the Jokers.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your favorite Joker?
Heath Ledger, by far. Heath Ledger's the greatest Joker.
Okay.
He's the worst Jared Leto.
I knew you were going to say that.
He's terrible.
Not really. He's a different version, and I'm fine with that.
I don't even know who.
Jared Leto is the one in Suicide Squad,
the one
with a grill and tattoos on his chest.
That was a different version of him, which he's playing. Okay, you know about Morbius, right?
Yes.
Have you seen the trailers?
I have.
Do you think that the Joker is bad because of Jared Leto?
No,
I
actually
think it was bad. Okay, so then
I think whoever wrote Joker as that style, and that wasn't Jared Leto. He didn't decide to make that wasn't an artistic choice. It was a scriptwriter or whatever. They made a bad Joker. Okay. He just happened to play a bad Joker.
Okay. He's playing Morbius.
Yes.
What are your thoughts? Because I'm personally, I'll just real quick. I'm personally, if you listen to my last few podcasts, have raved about fact, Morbius is coming out. I can't wait to see this movie.
I've always loved Morbius.
I look more forward to this than I did Spider-Man No Way Home.
I cannot say that because Spider-Man No Way Home just has too many implications for the universe as a whole. But Spider-Man's just a better character.
Morbius just didn't seem like a movie that was going to be made. Like, a character that was ever... Mega Red to me. I would fucking flip my shit. People probably, what? But, so I'm excited for Morbius.
My thing about Morbius, specifically if we're going to talk about that, is I do love the character and I always have liked it, but... Excuse me. I'm interested and I'm gonna watch it. I just don't know if that kind of character can hold a whole movie down. Morbius has always been a villain to Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying? He's never really been a leading role of
things. Well, this is kind of his origin story, though.
Yes, and you know what? I
love origin stories, by the way.
Origin stories are great when they're done.
Everyone should have one.
When they're done well. I honestly don't necessarily mind movies that kind of skip past. Like, if they do a brief origin story within a film and move on, I'm fine with that. Like, Daredevil, the series we talked about earlier. You all right there, bud?
Yeah.
The Daredevil series that we talked about earlier, I guess you could kind of say the whole series is an origin story, but really, the origin story of that Daredevil happens in under 3 minutes. The beginning, I laughed about it with my buddy the other day because he's watching it for the first time, but the kid that plays young Matt Murdock when he has the accident has 3 lines. He goes, "My eyes! My eyes!" And then he goes, "I can't see! I can't see!" And he just screams that, and that's it. But it's perfect because it's all you need. He was a hero even as a kid because the reason he got hit with that, he pushed another guy out of the way of getting hit by a car. Acid spills on his eyes. He's now blind, but not really. It's perfect. Let's get into the good shit, right?
Okay.
So, but I agree with you. A lot of times you do want a legitimate dedication to the origin of a character. And a character like Morbius, I feel like, is a little more nuanced. You need a little bit more of that. But I just don't know if I can...
Excited for
it. I don't know if he can hold down a whole movie. I am excited to see it happen, but... Okay. I feel like they're already kind of leaning on the Spider-Man shit. If you said you saw the trailer, they've kind of made a few references towards him already. Paintings on the wall, things like that. I feel like they're already kind of trying to use a crutch of like, I'm a Spider-Man villain.
Okay.
That's just me.
Well, do you have anything else that you want to add? Or do you want to get into some plugs?
No, I mean, that's really all I've got right now. I guess we can pull out our web shooters and swing into some plugs.
Okay.
That's a segue, by the way.
It is. And I'll let you segue into your plug first. We normally start with our Instagram and everything, but since you're the special guest...
Well, I'm going to pee up right here. What I'm going to say, first off, before I even get into my own, I am the king of shameless plugs. What I'm going to say is, right now, head over to Instagram, hit up 2 Brothers in Review, give them a follow. And, you know, while you're at it, you're listening to this right now. I don't know if you've stumbled upon it, if you listen every week, but whatever you do, subscribe on whatever platform you listen to, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor you guys are on, you know. I don't know if you're on Amazon Music, wherever you're at, wherever you're listening, make sure you listen to these guys every week, not just when I'm on. I know, you know, that's pretty cool too, but if you want to see more of me, hear more of me, or see, because we do have a YouTube channel, you can go head over to YouTube. TRG Network is the name of our YouTube channel. We do all kinds of stuff. We normally have a podcast every week. Sometimes we'll do an extra one here and there. And the topics vary, but you will definitely hear us talk about this sort of thing a lot. We love superheroes. I love superhero lore, that type of stuff. But we do a lot of gaming. We eat hot shit. We just try to have fun over there. So if that's the kind of vibe you're looking for, you feel free to come over and subscribe. We're nearing 1,000. We got a really, really big video planned for 1,000 subscribers, so... You know, hopefully the 2 Brothers crew can help us out there. Shh, that's top secret. But man, I don't really have any other plugs. That's the only thing I care about is TRG Network. I live, eat, and breathe that shit.
Every Tuesday, your episode drops on YouTube.
Yes,
What time? Because I never know what time to say.
I try to do 10 a.m. 10 a.m. is normally when we drop the episodes. It's been a little bit rough lately because we all just recently got new daytime jobs, so... Our schedules have changed. It's a little bit harder to make it happen. Sometimes it comes around noon. So I would say come look at 10. The easiest way, subscribe and hit the bell. You'll be notified when the videos go live. But every Tuesday, 10 to noon around.
And then
there.
Saturday, you do the Super Smash.
Saturday, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate Live every single week. We probably will take off next week just because it's Christmas. Actually, I don't even know when this is coming out. But we're recording this prior to Christmas. We won't be live on Christmas.
It will drop before Christmas. Ours will.
Okay. So, but every other Saturday, you can check us out there. Super Smash Bros. Saturday Live. We try to do a few other live streams throughout the week. Different games. And then we just drop a lot of gaming content. So, like I said, I don't need to get too much into it. Just subscribe, hit the bell. You'll know when we drop that hot, super, super hot fire.
All right. And if you're tuning in, you have no idea who this is. We normally announce our plug. It's those random guys, our brother Corey and our brother from another mother, Tommy. Tommy, unfortunately, is not with us. But check them out, TRG. While you're on YouTube, go ahead and slide up there to that search bar. Type in High Society Productions. That's me, your boy. Click on the picture of me with my hat and give me a subscribe as well if you haven't already. Check out my content. I haven't put out anything for a while, but I'm going to get back in there and start putting some stuff out. However, me and Kyle do get on the Twitch for our gameplay. So if you are a Twitcher, make sure you check us out. Me, it's HSP Gameplay. And then Kyle, he's not twitching, but he's got it set up. Like, is it called twitching? I guess it's twitching, right?
Streaming. But
I'm going to call it twitching.
Hey, you can call it whatever you want,
baby. Chef Boy RC.
You like that one. I know you did.
What'd you
I'm
say?
I'm getting this guy all day. Nothing. Keep going with the plug, buddy. Chef Boy RC. Love to see him. That's actually a really clever name, by the way, Kyle.
Yeah. So that's really clever name. So that's his, but if you want to check us both out, make sure you get on there and do that. Like I said, HSP Gameplay and Chef Boy RC. Kyle also has his KW Snow on YouTube. He's right now in West Virginia filming. He's supposed to be filming stuff. So hopefully that will be up on his KW Snow YouTube channel. So check that out. It's normally a back and a forth. Oh, he's got a spider on him. Spider-Man's going
to
bite you.
No, that was a roach. I'm about to be Roachman. Right? Roachman. I'm about to survive a fucking nuclear apocalypse.
Stink bug.
I was a stink bug. Well, that's kind of perfect for me. I can just shit everywhere.
Normally we go back and forth on the plugs. So I think that's all we've got. Instagram, Two Bros in Review. Kyle created the Twitter also. Same thing, Two Bros in Review. Listen to us each week on Anchor, Spotify, Apple. Corey kind of already said that.
You can listen to our podcast there as well. Any of those platforms.
There you go. Is it TRG Network on those platforms as well, or is it Those Random Guys?
Yes. The name of the podcast is Those Random Guys Podcast. It's normally abbreviated TRG just because it's a...
If they search for TRG, will it come up, or they have to search?
They should probably look TRG Network or Those Random Guys Podcast.
Okay. There you go. Those Random Guys Podcast or TRG Network. And
we just got on Amazon Music.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. I don't know if we're on Amazon Music or not.
Facebook's trying to get us, but, you know, fuck Zuck. Little alien, man.
For us, it's Two Brothers in Review, so make sure you search us for Two Brothers in Review on Instagram. It's Two Bros. Let's see. I think that's all I've got. Every Monday, noon Eastern, is when we drop our weekly podcast. Bonus drop when they drop. So whenever you're hearing this, there should be another one in the hole coming. I don't know if I'll put them back-to-back or not, but top 10 video games.
This one's going to be epic.
From me and Corey. Possibly Landon, if we're still here doing it. So make sure you're looking for that. But that's all I've got.
That's all I've got.
You've just listened to our podcast.
Two Bros in a Review.
See you later. Say something funny, Landon. We normally end with Kyle saying something funny.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was the bike dropping.
I was going to do this.